Death raises profound questions. And in this passage we've had read to us, we're invited to a funeral where there is mourning, darkness, uncertainty. And the questions that people are asking are the ones that we always ask. Why? Why now? What will be? What about myself? And it was ever thus. And here we see the transformation that takes place when Jesus is in the midst of even the darkest chapters of life. And of course, it's a foreshadowing of Easter. So there's tragedy here in Nain. It's a small village that is still there with 2,000 people, about 5 miles southeast of Nazareth. It's a tragedy at any funeral, but especially at this one. A child dies before their parent. A widow is cast economically and socially adrift from society. Where will her support base come from? Where will be her relationships and friendships? And Jesus arrives at this family disaster and changes everything. Often when we've been looking at the miraculous in our healing services, we've seen faith. We've seen faith in the individuals or in those that are healed in their friends. But here there is no mention of faith. Jesus just dives straight in and with love and compassion changes everything. He throws aside the rules about ritual impurity and he touches the funeral bier. Luke records that his heart went out to her, this widow. And the Greek word, and forgive me because it was a long time ago when I studied Greek and I've forgotten it completely, is splanchnizoma, and I'm not going to repeat it. And it literally means to be moved to one's innards, a deep gut-wrenching feeling, a physicality that we get in our stomach. You feel it in your guts. That is where, at that time, love and pity and compassion and hurt was meant to come from. The feeling of our hearts being the centre of our emotional world only came in the 14th century. So that's why this word is so powerful. And in our Bibles, it's often translated as compassion. But it's a compassion with action. It doesn't end just with a feeling. Something happens as a result of it. It's the same word that's used when the Samaritan is filled with pity and takes on the robbed and wounded man. It's the same word that the father of the prodigal son is used of when he sees him and he runs filled with compassion and embraces his lost son. His heart goes out to this widow. And it goes out to us wherever we are tonight. It's easy to read those words, "Don't cry," as Jesus says to the widow. But that's a natural reaction. That's how we feel in the face of death and impending doom. And there's some lovely little details. We know Luke was a physician, a doctor. Did you notice that when the son is resurrected, he begins to talk? Wouldn't it have been wonderful to know what he said? His first words, having come back from the dead. Unfortunately, they're not recorded, but we can fill in the gaps. I wonder what our first words will be when we find ourselves in heaven. because of our relationship with Jesus. Luke places this miracle of the healing of the widow's son back from the dead after that of the centurion's servant and before this passage that comes a little bit later on in the chapter. When the men, who were John the Baptist's disciples, came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you and asked, 'Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?'" And this is what Jesus says. "At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, 'Go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor.'" And then by the end of the chapter, we have the sinful woman who anoints Jesus has her sins forgiven, all in one chapter in Luke. Sickness is ended, death is defeated, sins are forgiven. This is God in Jesus. And like the crowd who declared, "God has come to help his people," he's come to do that for you and I, right now.